everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creator of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it is my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'll be talking with Josh Hall of In Transit Studios. Josh is an active member of the Divi community. He's a blog contributor at Elegant Themes, and he's been a professional web designer running his own company for 6 years now. So when I caught up with Josh just a little while ago on Skype, he shared his WordPress story as well as 6 lessons that he's learned in the 6 years since he's been in business for himself. I really enjoyed the blog post that he wrote on the same topic, and I thought it was a great chat and a great way to share some more information and some more lessons with the Divi community. So I hope that you guys enjoy following along with our conversation as much as we did having it. Here is that conversation. Josh, welcome to Divi Nation.
Nathan, thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure.
It's always great to have these conversations with people, and I especially enjoy it when I've had a chance to get to know someone a little bit beforehand. And for those of you who don't know, Josh has been, he contributed to the blog a bit during Divi 100. He also came to the Columbus WordCamp and helped out a bit there. So he's a local guy here in Columbus, Ohio, where I'm located. So it's cool to have another member of the Divi Nation so close, and it's great to have you on the show.
Appreciate it, Nathan. Like I said, man, I'm looking forward to meeting and engaging with the community a little more here.
Awesome. You recently started a new Divi Facebook group, didn't you?
Yeah, I started a Divi Facebook group called Divi Web Designers. So you can just search that in Facebook and find us. And we're closing in on, I think, 450 members right now. It's only a few weeks old, so...
And what I'm excited to see where this thing goes. Motivation for that? I mean, there's a lot of Facebook groups out there, obviously. So what was your kind of differentiating factor for that Facebook group?
Yeah, there are a lot of Divi Facebook groups. I've seen a lot of people say, I can't handle another one. And that's totally fine. But I just didn't see a group that was geared towards showing off your work and getting feedback and constructive criticism and just being able to share tips and tricks like that. For not only Divi experts and experienced web developers, but also newbies and people who are just getting into it. I feel like it can be pretty intimidating to just get involved with web design in general, let alone, you know, Divi and all these different tools. So I just felt like I wanted to have a place that was good for newbies, for experts, and just for all of us to share ideas and to display our work, basically.
Cool. Very cool. So I'm interested, and I always, for anybody who's been watching or listening to the podcast for any length of time, knows that a lot of times I like to ask people what a typical day in their life is like as a freelancer, as a particularly a Divi freelancer, because everybody kind of tends to go about it a little bit different. There are similarities that kind of cut across the board, but I think what I find most interesting is the ways in which people kind of mold their work life to themselves and their own strengths and their own preferences. So what does a typical work day look like for you at In Transit Studios?
Yeah, so I generally start anywhere between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m., and I work up until between 4 and 5 just because most of my clients are operating until then. Mm. So the first thing I do is it kind of all starts in the morning. I try to stay off my phone or stay off a screen for about the first half hour. So I'll get up, I'll make coffee for me and my wife, and I'll either try to just read for maybe 15, 20 minutes or just kind of sit and just think about the day, you know, kind of plan it out in my head and just kind of meditate and center myself before, you know, diving into the day. I think it's really important to give your mind some time to warm up. So That's generally how I start. I try to limit myself to 2 or 3 main tasks a day because I have so many different projects, and I do graphic design and print design as well, along with my Divi WordPress work. So I have to kind of manage all that. So what I'll do is typically try to do like 2 or 3 things, big things during a day. So that might include, you know, laying out like the homepage and a couple other pages for one website, maybe working on a business card design for another client, and then just trying to kind of limit myself to just 2 or 3 main projects a day.
Mm, very cool. And so how much would you say of your time is Divi web design versus your print and other graphic design work?
Right now, it's about 80% Divi and website design, if not more. The print design is just kind of something that I do for my clients on the side. It's mostly web design and Divi related right now. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. And if you wouldn't mind, I mean, it seems like you've been doing this for a while. In fact, the reason I had you on the show is because you just published a post. I mean, we'd been planning on having you on the show anyway, but I thought a particularly good talking point would be a post that you just wrote on your blog about the 6 big lessons you've learned in 6 years of doing this. Before we get to that, I'd love to hear about your story, your WordPress story. Just learn how you got involved in WordPress and how you got to kind of where you're at today. And then maybe we can jump into the lessons that you've learned after that.
Sure. Yeah. So it really starts. I used to be a cabinet maker for a tour bus customizing shop here in Columbus, Ohio. And then here in the States, the auto industry got hit really hard in 2008 and 2009. And I got laid off. My company went from 37 people to, I think, 17 or 18. And so the day I got laid off, I decided I would dive into Photoshop. I always liked design and I liked art and drawing and things like that. So I dove into Photoshop, kind of started learning some graphic design. And then I got into print design work and I started designing things like that. Now, at this time, I was also in a rock band. I was also a drummer and I was playing drums for a band. And we were traveling the nation at that time as well. And I started designing our t-shirts and all of our artwork and our CD artwork and our banner and merchandise. And I remember somebody said, hey, how much would you charge to design our banner and our t-shirts? And I was like, wow, I can make money at this. And it's something I actually enjoy. So it really all started with graphic design and print design. I was in a van doing graphic design, you know, on the road and stuff. And then at that time, I was also helping out with a church. And they had a website and didn't have anybody to run it. And they were like, hey, would you take our website over? And I was like, I'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. So they paid for a couple classes here at the community college in Columbus. And that's how I kind of got my start into you know, web design. Now, first I was using Dreamweaver and it was strictly HTML and CSS. And my designs were horrendous when I was getting started. But I was doing graphic design and website design. And then somebody talked about WordPress and they gave me a WordPress site to try out. And I love the idea of being able to easily add pages. Mm-hmm. You don't have to set up HTML templates and all this stuff. So it was about late 2011 when I got into WordPress. And then really it all started with me. I would go to like ThemeForce and I would look for different themes. And I had, you know, a plethora of themes, but of course with different themes, you have to learn each one and they can be really time consuming and all that. And so eventually I was subcontracting for a company, here in Columbus and they used Divi and that's how I was exposed to it. And it just changed my life ever since. So, but to just backtrack a little bit, it was 2010. I was just doing some freelance work. Like I said, I was doing, you know, t-shirt designs for bands, helping out my church and just some people on the side. And I was like, you know what? I started taking some classes at the community college here and I was like, I want to give this a go. And so I came up with the name for In Transit Studios. And what was funny about that was my band's third album was called In Transit. And so I was like, well, that's kind of a cool name. And I was thinking maybe I'll just tack on something at the end and make it In Transit Studios. And it wasn't taken. So I nabbed it up and that's kind of how I started In Transit Studios. So it started out with, you know, smaller, just referrals and people I knew to businesses. And then that's just kind of spiraled into what it is now, 6 years later.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. You know, what's funny is you were saying you used to be a cabinet maker and you played in a band. You know who else had that that same trajectory? It was Jack White. He used to be a cabinet maker before White Stripes made it big. I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. He hasn't made the transition to web designer, so I don't know what he's wasting his life on right now.
But, you know, it's all about creating, honestly. Yeah, I think it's what's kind of cool is you can do pretty much anything you want to do when it comes to creating art. I mean, my Divi websites are, you know, just creating art and creating something for my clients. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Well, we've talked a couple times and I know we've got a bunch of different things that we could talk about on today's show, but I thought since you'd already taken the time to sort of craft your thoughts on some lessons that you've learned in your time running In Transit Studios, that we would just cover those kind of point by point. So I guess what I'd like to do is maybe just start by prompting you with one of the headers from your post, one of your main points, and letting you tell us in your own words, you know, what that lesson means to you and kind of fill us in on the details. So the first one is the first lesson you learned is to care about your clients. What does that mean?
I've honestly found most people that I've worked with over the past 6 years in the web design and graphic design industry in general, they really care about their work. They're focused on, you know, best practices and designing things well and coding well and all this. But I've just found that most people think about that and they don't really think about the client, you know, and is the client going to like this, or what's the purpose of this website, or what are the goals, what's going to help this, you know, business grow. Mm-hmm. And I've just found that if you have that in mind and you're on board with your client and you're, you know, kind of a partner with them, then that other stuff is going to take care of itself. So it's just really, to me, you know, every project I do, I really try to have a genuine, honest approach with them and just care about not only the work that I do for them, because it is important. You got to care about your work. You got to care about your design skills and your chops and everything, but you got to care about their company. And yeah. I just kind of put myself in their shoes. And I think about, you know, if I was an automotive place, what would I want my website to look like? And what would I want people to do? So that's kind of what I mean by that, is just learning to truly care and not just, you know, not just say it, but really mean it and genuinely care about your client, because if you care about your client, you'll care about the work, and it just kind of feeds into that.
Do you ever have clients where you're like, I can't get behind what you guys stand for? I don't think we can work together.
Yeah, I do. It's kind of one of those things when you're starting out, I feel like you work with everyone you can. You just kind of have to take as many opportunities. But as you get a little more established, I'm not in the business of just turning people away quickly, but there are some clients that have come to me and I'm just like, I don't think this is going to be a good fit, or I'm not, you know, my design, or, you know, my business really isn't geared towards what you're doing. Or if it's a person who's just super difficult and I just can't take them on, I'll just say, listen, I don't have room for this, you know, workload right now. And that's a nice way of saying, I just don't want to work with you. So, there are some kind of processes like that, that I have kind of an initial like weeding out phase. And generally I can do that within about 5 minutes on a phone call with somebody. I can tell, okay, this is not going to be good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's talk about point number two. This is the second lesson that you said you learned in your 6 years, and it's be ready to adapt. That can mean a lot of things. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, so the biggest points there are number one, technology. As you know, as I know, and everyone in the web design world, it changes so fast. Particularly, I think in the web design world, particularly, it changes quicker than perhaps any other. You know, when Divi 3.0 came out, Divi 3.0, you know, one was right after that. So, you know, there's constant updates, it's changing frequently. So I think it's just wildly important not to get too comfortable with what you know. I mean, Divi is a great framework. Knowing HTML, CSS in the web design world, that's all good knowledge base, but I found that you just can't get too comfortable. A perfect example of that was, I forget when Divi released the new colors on the back end.
But
I was really comfortable with, I think it was like before 2.0, I forget exactly. I was really comfortable with those colors. And then when they switched it, it threw me off just a little bit. I was like, oh man, I like that old color scheme. But now I've kind of realized, you know, little things like that doesn't matter. You have to be able to adapt really quick. Because a lot of the processes and tools we use online in particular, we don't have control of. So, you know, Google's going to change their look on things. Obviously, you know, every time you do an update on your phone for an iPhone, it looks different. So you just, I've learned that you can't get too comfortable with technology, and you got to be able to adapt and you got to learn quick. The second part of that is maybe more important, is being able to adapt to personalities. One thing I talked about in the post that I've learned is that people are just different, and business is people. So if you're going to be successful in business, you got to be able to relate to and talk to different people. I don't think that means you need to change who you are or change your personality. But the example I use in the post is that if somebody, you know, wants to work with me, you're like, oh man, I'm so pumped about this website. I can't wait to design something new. I just want to look, you know, I just want to look fresh online and all this stuff. I'll try to kind of match their energy and say like, oh man, I'm really excited to work with you. And then sometimes what I'll do is if they say a word like fresh, or if they say, you know, I want to look professional online or something like that, I'll wait a little while and then I'll bring up that keyword, what I'd call. I'll be like, you know what? I think I want to give you a nice fresh approach. And then they're like, yeah, fresh. Yeah, I want to do that. So, and then on the other side, if somebody is like, you know, hey, I'd like a website. I don't know too much, but I just want to get started. I might bring myself down a little bit and say, yeah, that's no problem. We can help get you started here. And and just kind of match them a little bit, just because it makes people feel more comfortable when, you know, there's a similar personality there. So I've learned you got to adapt quick to technology, and you have to be able to adapt personalities to be successful.
Wow, that's great. I mean, I've heard of the technology point before. I like a quote, and I don't know that it's a specific person that said it. If it is, maybe someone can tell us in the comments. But the concept being that, you know, the illiterate of our time are not people who can't read. They're people who can't learn and unlearn at will, basically. So if you can't pick something new up and then kind of unlearn all that when something new comes along to replace that, you're kind of, you know, going to be stuck in the past very quickly, because we live in a time of rapid iteration. That's everything, you know, technology, trends, design, techniques, all of it.
Right.
But the personality point I thought was very good. I'm not sure that we've had anybody talk specifically about that sort of soft skill on the podcast before. So I think everybody will be interested to maybe try to incorporate that in their own dealings with their own clients.
Awesome.
So let's jump to lesson three. Learn to say no. Okay, so we've had quite a few people talk about this on the podcast before, but it's always refreshing, and I think it's something that bears repeating a lot. So delve into what learn to say no means to you, and maybe give a story or an example.
Yeah, so like I said a little bit ago, you know, when you're starting out, you can pretty much say yes to just about everything. You want to get as many opportunities. Yeah, you have to build a portfolio. You're just, you know, employers and people like that want experience, and you're just, mm-hmm. you're going to have to say yes to get experience to things. But as you get, you know, more successful, and as a business grows, there's just so many more demands. Mm-hmm. And I've realized that if you put too much on your plate, you're just going to get spread too thin, and you're either going to, you know, give off half-assed work, or mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to provide like your clients like you really want to and should. So I've just learned that saying no, and it doesn't mean that you say no to everything. It just means that you're more careful about what you say yes to, because it not only affects your business life, but your personal life as well. Now I'm married, and we're building a family, and I have not only my family and my friends and those relationships, but my wife and mm-hmm. her friends and her family and those relationships. And you add that on top of a busy growing business, that's about 100% of the time right there. So it's very important, you know, what you allow into there. So what I've tried to do is set what's important to me. And then when opportunities come up, business or personal, I kind of know if they're going to fit in my yes category or like a no category, basically. So, and again, I try not to be mean about it, particularly in business. If there's a client, like I talked about earlier, that I just don't feel like it's going to be a good fit, or I just going to feel like it's going to suck up way too much time, I'll nicely just say, you know, I just don't think I'm a good fit. And I'll try to have maybe somebody I can refer them to. I don't like to just, you know, bail on somebody. But yeah, it's just really important not only to say no, but it's important to figure out what you want to say yes to.
Yeah. And I think also just kind of training yourself not to have that instant yes reflex is the first step. Cause like you said, it's like you're saying yes to everything, and then all of a sudden you don't have to say no to everything all of a sudden, but you need to maybe say, let me think about it more often.
Yeah.
And then maybe back to a fraction of those with hard no's.
Yeah. And you asked for an example. So earlier this year I got an opportunity on an e-commerce job, which I do a little bit of e-commerce, and I have a guy who helps me out with that. But I said yes really quickly, and that project just grew legs and ended up being much more than I bargained for. And looking back, I wish I would have either planned it out better or just said, you know what, this just isn't, you know, this may not be a good fit for what I do. So those are the kind of things where it's like you say yes or say no and then go from there.
Totally. So let's jump to number four. I think this one's kind of interesting. Know your why. And I'm a big proponent of kind of centering yourself and your business on values, your values, not anybody else's prescribed values. Is that what you're getting at here? Know your why. What do you stand for? What do you get up in the morning for?
Yeah. And it's interesting because right now I'm currently reading Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why,
good book. He's really the one who gave that great TED talk on it, right?
That TED Talk, which is where I found it. It's a really good read to check out. But, you know, that got me thinking about my business. And a lot, especially in web design, we talk about what we do. So we talk about, you know, the sites we design and the work we do and all that. But it kind of goes back to the first point too, about caring about your client. The reason I build a website, the reason I do my design work and all that, is to help my client's business grow. And that's my why, is to, you know, give back to the community and help clients grow and help their businesses succeed, and give them the tools and strategies that they can use to not only grow their website, but to help them build a successful online presence. So, you know, in the post, what I talked about was the fact that working from home, no matter what business you're in, I mean, I love what I do and it's awesome, but there are days where it's just tough, particularly right now, managing so many different projects, so many different things going on. There are days where it's just like, man, I don't have anything in me right now. I don't have much creativity going on. I've got nothing. And I think if you know your why, it will just pull you through that. It really, instead of you feeling like you got to push through the work, if you have a why in place, it'll pull you through. So my why is obviously my wife, my family. I want to provide for them. I want to be successful for them and have us be able to live the life that we want to live. But my other why is helping my clients grow and succeed. And testimonials and success stories that my clients tell me just make my day, and it makes it worthwhile. So a lot of times, you know, if I have that in the back of my mind that I'm, you know, working for my client and I want their business to grow, that will help me push through those tough days to get through a project.
And do you, I guess one thing that I find interesting about this, typically someone's why is very, very personal. And do you find that you get a great sense of purpose out of going, oh, well, whatever my client's goal is, I'm going to adopt that and make that deeply meaningful to me? Is that, how do you do that? Personally, I have trouble doing that. I mean, I have clients who I always try to make sure that I can sort of align myself, or that their stuff aligns with what I would like to accomplish or what I'm capable of. But I think I kind of have trouble finding my deep motivation based on someone else's goals. But maybe you have a good way of approaching that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like I work with small to medium-sized businesses typically, ranging from all different industries. But I found that, I mean, most of my clients' goals are just to have their businesses grow. And my kind of ultimate why, if I really think about if I really deep down think about it, ultimately, I think what keeps me going is helping people. And so in the case of web design, my work helps people. It helps their businesses grow. It's helping strengthen the economy around us. And it's literally putting food and a shelter for, you know, giving people food on their table and giving a shelter. If I'm, you know, helping their businesses grow, they're making money and they're able to provide for their family. So I think for me, it just really all boils down to helping people. And there's different levels of goals for sure. And some clients have different things in mind, but I just feel like probably 99% of my clients, ultimately, they just want their businesses to grow and they want to have a successful online presence. So that's kind of the main goal for me, I feel like.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's jump to the next lesson you learned. This is lesson number 5, take care of yourself. And you've got several sub points on this one. So I'm sure you've got some anecdotes to share with us. Let's talk about taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Let me scroll down just to make sure I don't miss one or screw something up here. But yeah, you're only going to be as good as how you feel. You know, if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're unhealthy, it's going to reflect in your work. You're going to have less energy. You're going to be less productive. You're going to have less motivation. So it's just wildly important emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, to just be the best you can be for your clients and for your family and everything else. So obviously I know there's numerous, you know, tutorials and things out there for personal development and being a better you. But I'll just go over kind of the points I talked about. I've really tried to just enjoy the small stuff. And a perfect example of that is when Divi 3.0 came out. I was like a little kid when Divi 3.0 came out. Even my wife was like, "You're really excited about Divi 3.0. What's the deal?" And I told her and I showed her and she was like, "Oh, that's really cool." And it's just, you know, when you get into business and you get a little older, I'm coming up on almost 30 years old now. You know, life gets complex and it can be difficult. And particularly in business, you know, even when things are going good and it's growing, it just produces a whole new set of problems and, you know, issues, challenges. Yeah, so I found that just enjoying the small stuff, little things like, man, I love this Divi 3.0. Just diving into this, or there's a new CSS trick that really gets me fired up, and it just gets me excited about the projects I'm working on. So really try to enjoy the small stuff. One thing we really did more about the past year or so is to celebrate and reflect. So once a project is done, my wife and I always go out to dinner or just go somewhere and just kind of kick back, have a drink, and celebrate and just think about, you talk about the project or talk about how things went. Because particularly in the freelance world, when a project is done, you're going to have a whole bunch of other projects on your plate. So a lot of times a site will go live and that client's like, I'm so excited. And then I'll have another client say, hey, my something's not looking right on my site. I've got a widget down or, you know, something like that. Or my site might be hacked or something like that. So, you know, it's important to celebrate. And I just try to kind of cut that off. You know, once the site goes live, put it in the books, celebrate it, kind of reflect on it, learn from it, and move from there. So that's been pretty important.
I think that's so important. I mean, it's so easy to lose track of your own progress. It's so easy to lose track of all the hard work. And especially if you're in a busy season and you got project after project kind of lined up, it's really, really easy to get done with one thing, move on to the next. And before you know it, you know, you're like depressed. You feel like, oh, I have no purpose. I'm just a working machine. I don't have any enjoyment. Yeah. And something as simple as just going, damn, that's pretty good. That can really lift your day just by going, what did I do last week? Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, you know? And I looked back at a site that I did like a year ago, and I just kind of thought, I was like, you know what? That's a nice site. I like that. I'm pretty proud of that. And it's easy to forget that when you're just so busy and consumed. So you get a high when you get a project, when you know, somebody says, let's do it, let's move forward. And I feel like it's just as important to have, you know, some sort of high once you're done with a project and just enjoy that. So
you said you and your wife seems to be kind of plugged into your business. Does she help with your business?
Yeah. So she joined my business last year. She used to work for a hospital and do a night shift. And it was when we first got married and it just killed us, the whole night shift schedule. And we were sharing a car. It was just really tough for us. And so the way the business was growing, I was like, babe, let's really look at this. And, you know, I had her jump in and she handles a lot of the administrative stuff we do, a lot of the back end work. We have a website security and maintenance plan and she handles a lot of the updates and, you know, transcribing videos now, all kinds of stuff like that, that really kind of takes things off my plate to be productive and to stay fresh.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool. Just curious, you know, with this, you said enjoying the small stuff and celebrating and reflecting, those both had your wife as integral parts of those little rituals for you. What was the difference in your own health and well-being having a sort of a partner there to do the job with you as opposed to not having a partner there to do the job with you?
Yeah, it's interesting because when we were dating and when we were engaged, she was pretty much in the dark of the business. She didn't quite understand what I did, and I didn't really take the time to explain to her all that. Now that she is in the business and she sees, you know, what goes on, she has a much better understanding, and it almost makes those little wins that much better because she knows, you know, she's heard all the calls and she knows what I've gone through on some of these projects. And when it's done, she's just as excited for it to be done as I am and stuff like that. So it's been really cool. And it's really about, so I follow Tony Robbins is somebody I love listening to. And he said something recently I heard where he talks about work-life integration. Cause a lot of people work, you know, they have work life and then personal life, and those separate. We're fortunate to be able to not only balance our schedules, but integrate our schedules. You know, it's just really cool to have, like you said, a kind of a partner to be alongside me with all that stuff. So it's very, very cool.
Yeah. And I think I've heard that term work-life integration instead of work-life balance. And I think that definitely is the case for most freelancers is, you know, balance may not be in the cards for you, but integration might be. So finding your deep personal connections through your work and your deep personal relationships interwoven in your work. And I think that's what a lot of the Facebook groups and the Divi community has turned into for a lot of people is just the ability to make these really meaningful life connections in and around the work that they're doing every day, oftentimes without being as fortunate as you to have someone in the same house working on the same stuff. A lot of times people are by themselves in their house or in their computer or in their office. They're doing stuff and no one but other people in the community really know what they're going through and can celebrate those victories with them. And so maybe it might be something for people to think about who are listening to this. Maybe we could come up with some ways to incorporate little rituals of celebration and reflection with each other that might kind of enrich our lives as part of the Divi community. I think that's something to think about.
Yeah, you know, one thing I saw recently, Gino, who is plugged in the community, I saw something on his Facebook status where he had his son was messing around with 3.0. And that's a great example of integrating work with your family, because I feel like we all only have 100% to give. So wherever you divvy that up, if you give 50% to work, you know, 30% to friends, 10% to family, whatever, you know, it's going to get spread thin. So whatever you can integrate into work, you know, particularly with web design and stuff like that, can be really cool. It can be rewarding. So I found that that's really helped us.
So let's talk your other sub points here is, your next one's exercise. What's that look like for you? I know that's hard for a lot of people, myself included, to get out and get the exercise.
It is hard. Yeah. It's hard. It's a hard practice. I'm certainly not as disciplined as I want to be, but for a while there, I was running in the mornings. I mean, I tell you what, you want to have a productive day, run in the morning, or just a good walk. I found you don't get that like 1:30, 2 p.m. Like, oh man, I'm dragging. The days I run in the morning at like 4, I'm still fired up.
Oh wow.
So, you know, that's a practice I want to get back into. It's just so much easier said than done, but I try to work out at least 3 times a week if possible. Mm-hmm. You know, as more you can do to stay active is good, because as humans, we're not meant to just sit in a chair and look at a screen for over 8 hours a day. And then usually as web designers, once we're done looking at a screen all day, then we're plugged into our phones and we're watching movies or Netflix or whatever. So like we're literally just sitting and just watching a screen, you know, potentially 16 to 18 hours a day. So it's really important to have some break up there and to get some physical exercise. And that may look different for everybody. Some people like running, whether it's lifting or doing yoga. And I just found that, especially as I get older now, it's just very important to stay fresh. And like I said, when you feel good, you're more productive, you're more creative, and it helps your clients. Being the best you as possible is what it's all about.
Absolutely. And your next point is taking time out. So how do you separate yourself from all the projects, all to-dos? I mean, there are some days where I'm sure, you know, you just look at your to-do list and you're like, I couldn't get all this done if there were 8 days in the week or 20 days in the week. So how do you go, okay, it's now time to stop work and do something else? Well, how do you take time out?
Yeah, that's really tough, especially when you work from home, because, you know, a lot of people drive to work and then they're done at 4, they're done at 5, and then it's just, you're kind of off, you're done. When you work from home, it's a whole different ball game, because your office is either in your bedroom or in your kitchen. I have my own office here in a separate room, and that's a really good way to break that up, because once I come in here, I know I'm kind of in work mode. And so when I leave this room, it has helped a little bit. But for a while, I was working. I lived, when I started my business, I was in my dad's basement. I had my bed, I had my drum set, I had my computer, and it was very difficult. So I've learned, having a separate office, if you can, is really good. And a couple things that I've done just to take a time out from just getting off, you know, the constant bombardment of social media and email and everything else, those two things in particular, email and just social media, is just to put your screens down. I talked about earlier in the mornings, I'll generally try to just have like the first half hour of just no screen, because we all have only so much cognitive load. And if you jump right into Facebook or social media, or you jump right into email first thing in the morning, by 10 a.m., you're going to be spent. And a lot of your creativity can be zapped right away. Now, I don't do that every day. I try to hold to that. There are some days where I'm like, man, I got to get going on this project now.
Especially if the first thing you see is some polarizing news story that, you know, you're angry and you have to comment on it. You spend all this energy.
You're following the election and you just get yourself mad right now.
And then before you know it, you sit down to do your work. Like, I'm already exhausted. I just had all my best thinking put into fighting a troll on the internet.
It's totally true. So I just think, you know, taking a time out from that is very important, because you'll recharge. And like I said, generally I try to do that in the morning. It's good practice to try to do that at night as well. Like the last half hour, try to go without being on your phone. It just helps your sleep cycle. Don't always do that, but my wife and I are trying to be better at that. But yeah, those are just kind of the morning and evening, I think, are really important just to take a time out. And then sometimes even after a work day is done, sometimes we'll just go for like, we'll take our little dog for a walk around the block and we'll just get out and get some fresh air, just kind of step back from screens and just the craziness of the modern work day.
I know you mentioned my big, rituals or my go-to rituals, is the walking and the reading. I usually try to do some type of a morning reading, whether it's sitting down, just staring off into space with an audiobook playing, or actually reading a book. And I do the same thing in the evening. My favorite way to disconnect from work in the evening when possible is go on a walk, not looking at any screen, but just go on a walk. And then,
and that's what's tough now too, is with Kindles and audiobooks and everything else, you're still usually connected to a screen at some house. So very I just try easy, to at some point during the day where there's just, you know, no technology, just for a little bit, just for my mental health.
Absolutely. And I fully endorse that mentality. All right. So your last lesson, number six, plan for detours and delays. How do you plan for detours and delays?
I don't know if you can plan for it, honestly, Nathan. I know you've experienced this, and I kind of saw some of what you went through when we were doing the Divi, 100 Days of Divi. And you're working with so many collaborators, and, and I thought you had a really good process set up. But, you know, inevitably, there's going to be detours, there's going to be delays. And so in the web design field in particular, I've just found that no matter how simple a project it sounds, and a lot of my clients will say, I just want something super simple. it's never super simple. If there is a project that goes right as, you know, perfectly as planned, you better be thankful for that, because very, very rarely it's going to happen. There's going to be issues, you know, with different hosts, there's server issues, you know, there's a ton of different things that happen in the case of web design. And then there's also, you know, revisions, and again, working with different clients, different personalities. Some clients will say, that looks great, let's just make a couple tweaks here. And some clients will nitpick every little thing, every little piece of design on the website, and it can triple or quadruple the time you thought you'd have involved. So, what I try to do is I try not to have any surprises. I just kind of assume that something's going to happen on a project, like something's going to break or something's going to grow. What the analogy that I use a lot is that a project will grow legs. So a 5-page website design with a portfolio and a contact form may end up being a 10-page website design, you know, with all these different functions. And though I try to account for that initially, I just kind of plan for those kind of delays. So what I'll do practically with that is, on a proposal, I'll leave myself a little bit of room. I may tack on an extra 15 or 20%, and I won't let the client know per se, but I'll just kind of know, okay, something's probably going to happen to where it's going to take a few extra hours, and I'll just kind of account for that. Or I'll also look at what I have on board. And if the client says, I need this done in a month, and I look at what I have and I say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hit that. I might just say, you know, I'm going to be getting started on this in a couple of weeks. Is there any way we can add, you know, an extra 15 days or something like that? And usually it's fine. So, those are the kind of practical things I do to just give myself some extra space, because it has helped me not be surprised when something goes wrong, basically.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. What other, I guess, time management tips when it comes to allowing for this extra stuff? So, to rephrase, you might have a project that, you know, you plan on being, you know, a 2-week or a 2-month, whatever it is, project. What kind of stop gaps do you put in there for this extra work that no one's planning for?
Yeah. And it kind of just depends on the situation for sure. But I mean, generally, like with a basic website design, I'll try to get going on it as soon as possible. Cause I feel like if you get fired up for a project and somebody wants to move forward, generally that's when your creative juices are flowing and you're feeling good. And I try to get going on that, at least maybe get a few pages designed, get the front page design and a few other pages. And then that kind of allows some extra time. So I'll try to get as much work as I can done up front, within maybe the first week or two when I get a project. And then if I have a month, you know, deadline or a month and a half deadline, then I'll have usually 2 or 3 weeks there where we'll have kind of some buffer room. Yeah. So, you know, let the client see things. They want to make changes. They want to make, you know, new functionality in the website or something like that. That'll usually give us some time to make those kind of tweaks and things like that. Now, in some cases, you have to say, look, this is much more out of the scope of what we talked about. I can do this, but it might be this much extra. But I try not to get too nitpicky with my clients. And luckily with Divi and with WordPress and all the tools we have access to, I mean, you can add a calendar or add a contact form or things like that very, very quickly.
That was easy. I was going to ask next is when it comes to using Divi, particularly the Divi library and all having all the layout packs available that we've created and that the community is beginning to create, and that I'm sure a lot of people like yourself create your own versions that you want to reuse all the time. Does that really speed up your ability to get into a project quickly and kind of get the basics out of the way? Because that would give you tons of buffer time at the end, like what you're talking about, is just the ability to say, bam, here's 10 pages that I always use, and I'm just going to tweak them a little bit and start getting feedback right away.
Yeah, that's – honestly, Divi has just – and I'm sure I can speak for the majority of the community in saying that – it's just changed my life. It has taken my development time. It's probably cut it in half, if not more. Oh, wow. Without having to learn different themes. And so I have kind of I have my own little child theme that I made that just has my settings.
Yep.
And what I do is when I start a website, I'll just put my child theme in and I know exactly where all the code is and I can just start replacing colors and tweaks. Mm. And if I don't need a toggle module for this site, I'll just wipe that part of the code out of the style sheet from my child theme. And so I do some of the layouts like that and exporting a JSON file and importing it. But a lot of times it's mainly just like the CSS settings that I save and that I know now that I know Divi so well. And, now that, you know, you can get familiar with the modules pretty quick, it makes it so much easier and you can set up a site relatively quickly if you have it planned out well from the start.
Well, that's awesome. Well, now's the time, as we're running out of time, that we typically do our parting thought. So you've listed 6 lessons here: care about your clients, be ready to adapt, learn to say no, know your why, take care of yourself, and plan for detours and delays. Now, for someone who's just starting off, all of that all at once, I think it's hard to implement multiple things in your life on a meaningful level all at once anyway. What is the one thing that you would tell someone who's kind of starting the journey that you've already gotten to a little farther down the road on? What should they focus on? And how should they approach implementing lessons like this into their own workflow in their own life?
Yeah, I kind of think about, you know, what I wish I could have told myself 6 or 7 years ago when I was starting. And I would just say, be patient. Nothing's going to happen overnight. I know a lot of people who start into the freelance world and they just quit their job, but they've given themselves like a month to make it happen. And I'm like, that's not enough time. You need to give yourself a buffer. And if you're in a job that you don't like and you want to start doing freelance or you want to have your own agency or business, I feel like, you know, trying to do some things in the evenings and the weekend where you have some extra time is a good way to start. And just make sure you give yourself some time to build, because when you have your own business, it takes time. There's just no get rich quick scheme. There's no success overnight kind of things. It takes time. So I think, you know, being patient with that. And then also kind of what you talked about earlier, Nathan, was just being able to learn fast and not getting too comfortable. That's something that, like you talked about, you have to be able to adapt to new technologies quick, and you just got to learn. But also just have fun with it. I think that's really one of the big things. Is business is stressful. Life can get stressful, but you got to have fun. Life is what you make it. You know, and some projects are fun, some projects are not fun. And either way, I feel like you got to kind of stay grounded and, just enjoy life every day as much as you can. And what I would say to people who are just starting is, what I wish I could have told myself 6 years ago is that you can do it. You can really do it. There's nothing you can't do with the technologies we have now. I mean, you talk with developers from all over the world who are working for Elegant Themes. I mean, technology is just crazy how connected we are and what we can do with it. So we're really in a position, no matter where you are in the world, where you can do what you want to do. You just got to put your mind to it, and you got to work. It's just, you got to have a strong work ethic, and you got to put in the time. You got to put in the hardship that goes into building something successful. But I would just say, you can do it. Just work hard and believe in yourself and keep on learning. Have some fun.
Thank you so much, Josh. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Appreciate it, man. Like I said, anytime.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. As always, I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Josh Hall, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about the stuff that we talked about in this episode, feel free to leave them in the comments on the Elegant Themes blog. I've made sure that Josh knows the post is going live, that his episode is out there, and I'm sure he's going to be more than happy to drop by and answer any questions that he can. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you around the community. And as always, we'll be back next week with another episode of Divi Nation.